Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
For generations, the death notice has been a central part of Irish life, read on the radio, printed in the papers, and now increasingly shared online. But where did the tradition come from? And why do we rely on certain, sometimes coded phrases like family flowers only or house private? And what does the endurance of the death notice tell us about Irish society in an age when so many other traditions have moved on? Well, our reporter Maura Fay has been looking into all of this for us and is here. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Claire.
It is. It's huge, isn't it? The death notice. Really important to many people, most people in Ireland. Why do they get so much attention, though, here?
Well, people I've been speaking to put it down to two reasons that relate to the way we do funerals in Ireland. Firstly, people like to attend funerals to sympathise with the deceased family and friends. Particularly down the country, you will see funerals getting large attendances. Also, we tend to hold funerals quite promptly here in Ireland, usually within a few days of someone's passing. So if you're not keeping an eye out, it's easy to miss when a burial will take place.
Now, also nosy, Maura. Let's face it, you know, we like to know everything.
We do. We definitely do. So death notices appeared in Irish newspapers from the 18th century onwards, firstly among the wealthy, and then gradually as printing became cheaper, more and more notices started appearing. And if you ever wanted evidence of how popular they became a listenership phenomenon when they started appearing on local radio. Now, RTÉ Radio na Gaeltachta began broadcasting the death notices in Irish in 1972, but it was in the early 1990s when Midwest Radio in Mayo began broadcasting the death notices in English that the tradition really took off. Presenter with Midwest Radio, Tommy Marin, told me how it all came about.
We started broadcasting death notices on Midwest Radio approximately early 1990s. We kind of had a brainstorm. We were just on air a couple of months and we were wondering if there were other segments that could be included in our programme schedule. And we had a meeting and a number of people mooted this idea of broadcasting death notices. And initially it got a very strange reaction from the people around the table. But slowly but surely we thought to ourselves, well, you know, we do death well in the west of Ireland and we like to know the arrangements about deceased people. So we said we'd try it on a trial basis. And what was supposed to be for just a couple of weeks has ended up being one of the most important segments in our programming schedule for the last 35 years. And we know that it's a very sensitive area. It's an area where we know our presenters have to be on their game to make sure that we do everything correctly, both in terms of the on-air broadcast and also on our website. And it really stemmed from there. And when you look at our JNLRs throughout the years, you know, the 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, half past five bulletins of death notices always sees a lot of listeners tuning in.
Tommy Marin from Midwest Radio and his lovely voice.
Oh, fantastic.
Isn't it lovely to hear him?
So soothing.
Now, I mentioned at the start that beyond the announcement, right, the notices are full of subtle language, which I know people agonise over when they're putting them in there. But you're going to explain to us now what some of that phrasing means.
Yes. So generally, it's undertakers who draft the death notice as part of the funeral arrangements. Breage McGowan is an undertaker with Foley and McGowan Undertakers in Sligo. Generally, Breage would sit down and write it out with the family. And the structure of the death notice would be the person's details, a photo, perhaps other details. Like if someone is known for being a guard, it would say ex-guard Shia Kona. And then you'd have a separate line mentioning immediate family and then the details of where the body and is reposing at and also the burial details. Now, there's other phrases included there to avoid confusion about the etiquette that's expected. There are things that use a coded messaging like, you know, how a family wants to mourn. So if a family, she explained to me why people might stipulate family flowers only.
Traditionally, people send flowers to a funeral, okay? And I suppose people then started looking at all these flowers and thinking it's a little bit of a waste when they all just die. And they said, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if we could put that money that they put into the flowers into a charity? And it's typically, I see it an awful lot with people who would have been cared for in a hospice, like the Northwest Hospice in Sligo. They're amazing, and like what they do for people is insane. And like it's only when you're in the four walls that you understand the care that is given to people. And I suppose it's a nice nod to them as well when you're saying donations in lieu of flowers, if desired. So you're not forcing them to do it. So it has the kind of Irish modesty. If desired, if you want, you can send them to the Northwest Hospice, for instance, or the Sligo Cancer Support Centre. So, you know, something like that. So that person has, you know, even though they've passed, their legacy goes on because they're then getting this big donation donated to the charity in their name. And I just think that's so lovely.
With other phrasing like house private or house strictly private, Breed says there's a subtle but important difference to take note of here.
House private is just a general house private that generally, you know, people would say, like, you know, friends, close friends and family are okay to come over. House strictly private, that's when it's like, no, because, you know, if someone, for instance, if someone passed away and their husband has dementia or something like that, and, you know, the kids just don't want people in and out confusing them, and like, it can be very stressful. So if you see house strictly private, please, it generally means, you know, there's a reason why they don't want anyone at home. And it is, you know, please don't go to the house if it said strictly house private, please. But yeah, the house private, sometimes people, after saying house private, they're thinking, you know, oh God, I thought such and such was going to call over. And I was like, but you said house private. But they're like, yeah, but I just didn't want every Tom, Dick and Harry over. So, you know, if you see house private, usually if you're a good friend of them, it's fine. Or family. But if you see strictly house private, it actually grinds my gears when I see people just wandering up to a house and it's strictly house private, because it's like, just respect. There's a reason why they requested that.
House private means you can go to the house. Be fine. Strictly private means don't darken the door. Stay well away. Now, a lot has changed over the years, though, with digital, you know, in terms of how we get the death notices. And RIP.ie is the one that most people, I think, would be familiar with. That gets an awful lot of traffic, doesn't it?
Yes. And the website is actually turning 20 next year. It's showing no signs of slowing down. In May 2024, it was actually acquired by the Irish Times Group. A spokesperson for the website told me that so far this year, user numbers are up 15% and the number of condolences posted on the website have risen by 10%. And radio stations, though, they're not lagging behind at all. They continue to broadcast notices multiple times a day. Going back to Tommy Maron in Midwest Radio, he explained to me why he thinks it means a lot for families to hear the death notice of a loved one broadcast.
In terms of what it means to people, I think, you know, when a family has a death, it's a very traumatic time. And to know that on Midwest, we're going to broadcast that death notices, and we realise that the family of that deceased person is tuning in. And it means an awful lot in the whole process of accepting a death. And that is something we're very cognizant of when we're broadcasting these death notices, that it means so much to the family, and that when we're reading them, we have to understand that this family are going through a terrible crisis in their lives, and we must broadcast it with sincerity, and we must broadcast it with dignity. And I think we've done that very successfully over the years. It also means a lot to the general public, because people in the west of Ireland and in Mayo love to go to funerals. They love to go to the removals and to the funeral masses. So we know that they want to know in advance who has died, where they've died, where the removal is from, what time the funeral mass is. So it really does mean an awful lot to our listeners as a public service initiative, really, that we are broadcasting something that is of particular interest to the entire population of Mayo and beyond.
Tommy Maron there again from Midwest, and Mags has been on to us more Mags looks at RIP every single day, taking after her late mother, who used to call it the gloomy column. But you still do it, Mags, and loads of people still do it. They'll check their local area, don't they, to see what's happened.
Somebody told me that when they're listening to the death notices, they know it's a good day when their name isn't called out.
Right, fair enough. Yes, that probably does make for a good day. All right, Maura Faye, thank you so much. Coming up later on in the programme, we're going to be finding out, this is really interesting, why addressing hearing loss, particularly in your 60s, could help ward off dementia in later years. But next up, why loyal customers are just a dream for big business.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.